The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So Patrick Kane just missed a breakaway with the Blackhawks down 2-1 to the Edmonton Oilers. When is it, honestly, that you see Patty Kane not stuff one in on a breakaway in a playoff game? Seriously. I was a little surprised. I thought that was going in when I saw him break in. Mike Soroka, the Braves, is out for the year. He tore his Achilles drastically tonight against the Mets. I actually thought that guy was pitching really well, and he has total poise. The guy's got good stuff. There's no denying it. How in God's name does a pitcher tear his Achilles? What, it was over at first base, wasn't it, Mafia? I think he was running out.
He was running to go cover first on a play and just landed wrong.
So what's the deal with Conor McGregor besides nothing? There's a story that he's not fighting in the UFC the rest of the year, no matter what. Basically, Dana White, what did he say?
He said on a podcast today that, you know, he's got nothing for him. He's not playing anything. As far as you know, Conor is retired. That, you know, apparently nothing in the UFC right now excites Conor. He's supposed to fight 3 times this year and decided he doesn't want to. So as far as he knows, he's retired and he has nothing for him.
So what do you think of that? No big loss. The world's moved on. And do you think he's going to fight Mayweather again? Because I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Listen, he's obviously a huge draw for them. He's their biggest moneymaker. But if you know the guy's going to pull this stuff all the time, they can't keep, you know, letting the world sit and wait for him. You know, the world keeps moving. Even with COVID and everything that's going on, he could have fought in Abu Dhabi, you know, with the travel restrictions, but he didn't want to. So if he doesn't want to, then move on. We had plenty of great fights without him. We don't need him.
But, I mean, he had him fight Cowboy. What was that all about? Like, I mean, did the guy not make a comeback?
He was supposed to start, you know, fighting then. That was his, you know, 3 fights this year after that, but... After the fights that they were offering him post that, he wasn't excited about. So I guess he's waiting around for Mayweather probably.
That's crazy. When we come back, we'll break down all the NHL and NBA games today. It's awesome.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, I want to look at these games at the very least. Oh, by the way, the Lakers are rolling now, 95-81. Dwight Howard dunking. I mean, they're doing everything now. They got it all under control. So as far as the games go, I really didn't get into was the Pelicans beat the Grizzlies by 10. Problem with that game is Morant had a bad night. It was that simple. And the Grizzlies shot 39%, and the Pels shot 45%. They even shot 37% from downtown. And then Ingram at 24, Zion 23, and Holiday 15, Hart 15, Redick 16. That's their whole team to begin with. But I don't think they're that good of a team. I really don't. I mean, they beat the Grizzlies, for God's sakes. Let's stop with all this 8 and 9 seeds are going to win anything. Okay, they're not. Neither one of those teams is winning jack. That's all there is to it. I want to watch Ja play. I like Jackson, but they were too erratic. Like, I was watching them just chucking shots. Jackson was 2 of 8 from downtown. I saw him hit both shots. And so I was like, wow, this guy's on fire. And he had 22, but, you know, he's really a scorer for them. He's become a scorer. But I just, his three is a shot put. I don't know if you've seen him shoot it, but it's got the weirdest look to it. It's like, you talk about Markel Fultz and these guys, Lonzo Ball having a bad shot. Take a look at Jared Jackson's launch. He shoots it like a Rick Barry free throw. Have you ever seen him shoot it, Mafia? It's like it's a chest shot. He shoots it from his boobs.
No, I haven't seen him shoot three yet, unfortunately. Well, thankfully, I guess, if it's that ugly.
Okay, so it is ugly. And then Valanciunas had 13, Brooks 15, Morant 11. So here's the problem with Morant today. 5 of 21 from the floor. 1 of 10 from 3. He was an utter disaster. Game over. Game over. Zion played 25 minutes. It's a miracle. Did I not say on Coast to Coast today, I said, they're not going to win unless they let this guy play 20 to 25 minutes. You can't let him play 15 minutes. At least let him play 20, 25 minutes. And they let him play at the end of the game, and he had all kinds of buckets late in the game. Driving layups and kisses off the glass. Every important bucket they hit down the stretch was from Ingram and Williamson, and that was it. And I've said this before. I mean, I really think the only real player on that team, I'll give you Redick off a screen, but Ingram's the star of the team, right? And then Williamson is this young, you know, bull in a china shop. He's an absolute terror physically in the lane. He makes LeBron and Charles Barkley basically look soft. Like, this guy would run through, and you hear me right now loud and clear, he would run through Karl Malone. He'd run right through him. You know, and the mailman delivered. The mailman was as good at that position as anybody ever, like going to the rack, right, and finishing. I think most people would agree with that. Stockton and Malone, are you kidding me? Pick and roll, it was ridiculous. But this guy Malone, honestly, he was unbelievable. Loved him. I know him. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. That Zion will go through anybody. He'll go through anybody. It does not matter who it is. I don't care who it is. The only guy that would even try to stop him, in my opinion, physically, is Montrezl Harrell. That's it. Who else is stopping? I see every game I see him play that he plays any minutes at all. If he plays 20, 25 minutes a game, he's going to run through you and step on your face. He's going to step on your chest and face. Those are the two steps. Lower chest and your face is what he's going to step on. when he knocks you over and steps on you, he'll step on your liver and your face. I mean, and it's true. I saw him doing it tonight. He was just banging and just knocking people out of the way. He's a literal, you know what he is? He's a buck that decided he was going to go into the diner for dinner like a giant deer. And he walked right through the front door and started smashing into things. He's like that deer in the Chris Paul commercial. He went in his garage and knocked everything over, knocked the car up, knocked all the bowling balls down. Worst commercial you've ever seen in your life. But the buck on the loose, that's what he is. He's like uncontrollable. No one can stop him. I'm noticing more and more. I'm like, this guy's got no game at all. Like, in my opinion, outside his shots, the disaster too. And his free throws, he's got no J. Like, he'll pull up from three and hit it. Everybody gets all excited, but I don't want that guy anywhere near the arc shooting threes late in an NBA playoff game. I can guarantee you that if he even makes the playoffs, but inside in the paint, on the baseline, in the blocks, the guy is a menace to society. He goes through people. Do you remember how good Charles Barkley was when he was young, going through people in the NBA? He was just so physical and dominant. This guy is twice that. I mean, he's twice what Charles Barkley was. That's all there is to it. I've seen them both play. This guy's unstoppable. He mows through. There are guys, he was barreling through Valanciunas like he wasn't even there. And the guy's a monster. He's like 300 pounds. He's like 300 pounds, 6'11". Is he not? He's huge. 7-footer. I think he is. And he's a 7-footer. And he actually, he B-slapped him. Like, he pushed him around like the guy was jelly. I mean, absolute jello. Jello gelatin, son. Trust me when I tell you. He worked. I mean, this guy, and I don't even like, I'm not a Zion suck up, okay, at all. I'm just not. You either ball and get it done or you don't. And all I know is, if you give that guy the ball anywhere from the elbows in, he's going to score. He goes right to the rack every time. You know who he reminds me of? Jerome Lane with talent. You know what I mean? Jerome Lane, I never thought had, you know, much more than, in my opinion, just a dunk game, right? He could dunk, send it in, Jerome, don't you remember? But the bottom line is, he couldn't play like Zion Williamson. I mean, but he was another one that just, all he did was go to the rack and dunk. That was his whole game. And there's other guys like that too. I thought Sean Kemp had game though, outside and inside. So he did a lot more than Zion Williamson does, in my opinion. And I mean, Sean Kemp could dunk like no one's business, right? But this guy, Williamson, he is a dunking machine. And now he's turned his game into a finger roll, layup, kiss glass, just absolute world domination. When he goes on the baseline, he just knocks you out of the way like you are a bee and you are in his way. Get out of my way, bee. And that's that. If he really wanted to, and he will probably, and like, you know, he's a rookie now, so he's never going to open his mouth. You notice he plays silent. He does silent treatment ball. But I think he's going to actually, in like 5 or 6 years, he'll talk more trash than anyone. Once he's a grown man, he's, what is he, 19, 20 years old? The bottom line is, once he's a grown man, like completely, like he's still a kid. So when he's like filled out and he's already fat. So imagine when he gains, when he's like really like 24, 25 years old, which is in like 5 or 6 years, he's going to be a mother Pharrell. And he's going to, you know, he's going to talk smack when he's dunking in your face. And he'll probably have a beard down to the floor by then, and because he's already rocking it. And he's just going to get to the point. You look at these guys now, like Ingram and all of them. Look at every guy in the league. Every guy in the league is like Hezbollah. Their beards, these guys don't shave for months on end, and they don't care what they look like. It's so funny. They talk about the barber shop in the NBA. Meanwhile, every guy in the league looks like he's been at war. They look like these guys could play in the NHL, some of these beards they got going. You know, they never shave. They look like they're in Hezbollah. And I mean, literally, like Tatum. Look at Tatum. I don't know what's going on there. And then So, but I think Williamson eventually will be that way. Just beard going everywhere and dunking on people and calling them bees. Get out of my way. You're a bee. And that's what he's going to do. Once he's fully tapped in and he's the best player in the league and he's the most dominant physical specimen in the league and he's owning the league inside in the paint, he's going to hurt feelings and he's going to let you know about it. There's no way I believe that guy's going to play his entire career like this Helen Keller act he's got going now where he doesn't talk at all and he just smiles. That's a bunch of rookie BS.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joe Lisi's Football Full Circle on Sports Grid. I know you've seen him. You've heard him on Pharrell on the Bench. We always like talking to Joe. Let's check in with him. Mr. Lisi, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing well, Scott. A lot going on in the college football world, as we know, and it changes every day. So keeping tabs. Hopefully we'll have a season within a couple of weeks.
You know, we all live in, and I want to get into it, but we all live in New York and Jersey and work here. And how do you feel about the hurricane coming here tomorrow? I hear I've been watching it. We're going to get leveled with like 6-8 inches of rain and like 50-60 mile an hour winds. Are you excited about that, Joe?
I can't wait. I'm gonna throw a party in my backyard. I'm going to have a barbecue, Scotty. I'm going to drink some beers and some wine and wait. The only thing that's needed left for New York, New Jersey is just the asteroid to come through the Earth's atmosphere. Let's just end it at this point, because, I mean, how much more can we deal with in one given year?
I mean, it's the craziest thing ever. What did you think when you saw the guy Rolovich? Now, I don't know anything about Nick Rolovich. I know that, believe it or not, I'm friends with Leach, right? So Mike has done my show right for years. And I've known him forever, and he's been very good to me. So when he left and went to Mississippi State, I got to be honest, I was a little bit surprised that he did it, but not surprised at a challenge in the SEC. You know, he just keeps doing new challenges, like really what he did it at Texas Tech. And I thought they screwed him at Texas Tech. And I know they ripped him off, too. They're evil. And then he went to Washington State. I thought he had some relative success at Pullman, and now he's going to Starkville. But I never thought for one second who's going to replace him. And then this guy comes in, Joe, and I can't even believe what he did to these players today in the last few days and the things he's threatened them, allegedly. He's kicked a bunch of them off of the team, allegedly. What in the Sam hell is Nick Rolovich doing?
I have no idea. All I can tell you is he's a former Hawaii quarterback. He coached there in the mid-2000s as well, you know, under June Jones, and really coached up talent. You know, Timmy Chang was there, Cole Brennan, and he has a great offensive mind and really fits the type of scheme that Mike Leach ran there with Washington State. So I think it was a smooth transition from the X's and O's standpoint, Scotty. But the other aspect is when you're a new head coach, you need to win over the players on your team. And within the first 3 months, he's clearly not done that. And now he has a lot of pressure on him. With the landscape of college football, the way it is right now, I mean, he's on tough territory. And he better watch, because he could be out on the outside looking in He might not even make it to the Pac-12 season at this point.
I mean, can you even believe this? Some of this stuff, wide receiver Cassidy Woods, he said he's still on scholarship, but there was people writing about him, right? And Washington State players shared, "We are United graphics have been released from the team." This guy, another one, he got off the phone with John Woods, the father of Cassidy Woods, who says Cassidy was told to clean out his locker. He's technically still on scholarship, but released from the team. He's kicking guys off the team. How about the guy that taped him on the phone threatening him? What did you think? Did you see that he had threatened some kid with his scholarship and that he was going to kick him off the football team and ruin his life? Did you see the tape of or hear of this news of this kid taping his phone conversation?
I didn't hear the actual tape, but I did read about it. And so, supposedly what happened was the player opted out for COVID reasons. And he said, "I have no problem with that in terms of COVID." But then he took it a step further and said, "Are you going to support the unity, you know, of the 11 players and the 11 schools that, you know, came forth and said that they put this in front of the Pac-12?" And he said, "Yes, I do support it." That's when Nick Rolovich said to him, "Well, then that's going to be a problem and a violation. If you're going to opt out for COVID, that's not a problem. But if you're going to support the allegiance of the 11 players that signed that document against the Pac-12, that's going to have repercussions for you with this school." And then that's when it all went down. So, again, I don't know exactly what happened. You know, I didn't listen to the tape up until today, but I did read about it. So, again, he does not have the Washington State Cougars behind him in year number one, and they didn't even have spring ball. So, again, this is a tight situation for Washington State, and hopefully he can make it through and win back his team.
What do you think of, you know, the conference, these kids that are actually trying to get paid and to get health insurance and to have better, I guess, quality control when it comes to the protocols of the COVID, on top of everything else that they're demanding, name, images, likeness, they want all kinds of things. I have a hard time believing they're going to get what they want. What are they going to, are they really going to just shut it down, boycott, not play football, and the whole conference is going to fold? Is that what these kids want to do? Is that their plan? Like, what did they all go out and smoke some bowls or something and decide, "Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take on the, Pac-12 and the NCAA." Is that what these kids think they're going to do?
Well, I mean, I think maybe some of them, you know, think that they have the power right now, and they do right now. And some of the things that they're arguing about, I can see coming through. The health insurance, the ability to get the name recognition, that's been, you know, with the NCAA for years now, and they went to court about it. But some of the other factors that they're trying to do, I mean, the biggest one is the Pac-12 revenue in terms of just what they bring in and generate is around $530 million. They want half of that, so roughly $260 million, $265. That's not going to happen. They want
good
the
luck.
Administration, yeah, and the school president, Scotty. They want the school presidents to take a half cut in their salary. You
good
know
luck.
That's not going to happen. So right, exactly. Money drives the bus. So I don't know what they're thinking in terms of those demands, but if they get the health insurance, they get the name recognition, and possibly pay to play, They're a winner in that type of scenario.
I'll tell you what they're going to get. They're going to get the name, image, likeness at best, and that's it. They're not giving them what's next? Life insurance, going to give them RVs. Every guy's going to get his own family camper. I mean, what is
health
insurance? Health insurance. Don't they have doctors and trainers on these teams? Like, they're not getting health insurance. They're going to have some team quack is going to take care of their injuries. The team physical therapist is going to take care of their PT. And then the team masseur is going to give them massages. And then they're going to sit in ice tubs. And that'll be that. They're not getting health insurance. Health insurance? Are you kidding? The day I see that, I'll keel over. What are they going to? They're going to give health insurance now to college football players. How about in the NFL, you go get life insurance like no one's business and disability insurance like no one's business. I have multiple friends that run the biggest disability insurance company in the NFL and NHL and NBA, and they're not giving out those policies to college kids.
No, they're definitely not. I mean, that's the middle of the road, right? We have the business aspect, and then you have these high expectations and feelings of entitlement. Again, I don't know where it stands. I know that the Pac-12, you know, is willing to discuss these. Now, they want to have a Zoom call every night. They want a Zoom call starting tonight straight through the end of the week to make sure that these demands were being met. I feel like we're watching the movie Ransom. So I don't know how this is going to play out. I mean, come on. I mean, it's crazy.
It's like a Bruce really Willis is. It's like Bruce Willis.
It's nuts. It's unbelievable. I have no idea how this is going to play out, but that's what they're asking. They want it a Zoom call every night. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is ridiculous, but here we are. I mean, every other day something happens in college football that leads you to believe that the season will not get through. But somehow, some way, we're still forging forward, Scotty. We'll see how this plays out, though.
Well, Joe Lisi with us. I'll tell you what is reality that has a better chance of happening is A, hell freezing over. B, B. Did you see that the Power Five, they want to, if the NCAA decides they don't want to have a football season and a playoff, the Power Five they're ruminating these big schools, these big conferences, they're all ruminating and talking, these conference commissioners, about having their own championship, a Power Five championship. Right. They're not interested in NCAA's plans. What do you think of that? I like that idea.
Yeah, but then we're going to have the NCAA all over again, right? So you notice it never happens to like Nick Saban or Nick Saban's team or, you know, in that type of scenario, right? I would love to see that type of scenario play out and see how Nick handles it, because he is a player's coach, but this never happens in the SEC, right? We never hear it with Ohio State in that type of situation. Michigan as well. I mean, everybody's all in to win and possibly get the Big Ten title. So I would like to see that. I think conference restructuring, that's what's going to happen due to this COVID situation. We're going to see super conferences in 3 years.
Yeah, I think you're right, Joe. And I'll tell you, you know, the more I think about it, like, you know, when I first thought of it, I was like, yeah, I don't mind seeing that. And then I thought, wait a minute, I think we already are. I mean, the college football playoff is all about the Power Five conferences. We'll come back with Joe Lisi. We're talking college football on a bench. By the way, Zucker had that goal from Sheary, that 2-0 goal, Penguins, and then they ended up getting a Gensel backhander, empty netter. They win it 3-1. And Edmonton's up 3-1 on Chicago right now, and they mean business tonight. I think McDavid had 2 goals in like the first minute of the game by himself. And then the Lakers are up 7. They're laying 6. I think that's what I got it at. With 2 minutes left against the Jazz, so that's tenuous at best. And I just wanted to tell you, we talked today on Coast to Coast about the Rockies and their game tonight, right? And it was against the Giants, and the number was the 13. I was like, I'm not buying the 13. I said it on the air. I go, I'm not buying the 13. I'm not going over, because everybody's like, oh, these two will put up 15, 16 runs. It ended 7-6, Rockies. They beat the Giants, so there you go. It did not go over. Anyway, we told you Soroka tore his Achilles tonight. The pitcher of the Braves running over to first to make a play. He's done. Yankees won again. They beat the Phillies. And going on right now, A's up 10-1 on Seattle. That did not work out well for me. I went gusto at that plus 160. White Sox are beating the Brewers. And the Padres are up on the Dodgers in San Diego at Petco, 5-3 in the bottom of the 8th. So how about the Padres not messing around with the Dodgers? We're talking to Joe Lisi. Football full circle on Sports Grid. I always love talking college football with Joe. Hey, Joe, so, you know, I got to ask you about some of these stories in college football that like I'm keeping an eye on. First of all, what did you think when Notre Dame got just chauffeured right into the ACC with a cushy little schedule? And I mean, what's next? They're going to give them hookers too and free chocolate cookies. What else does Notre Dame get? They got their own network and now the world's ending, but they still found a way to make Notre Dame happy. Honest to God.
Unbelievable, Scotty. I know. They played six ACC games, so it seemed like a smooth transition. They have that game against Clemson, so they wanted to make it as easy as possible. I mean, I don't see Notre Dame joining long-term, but in the season with COVID, I mean, I'm happy about it because I like the games that we're going to get some marquee battles, not just with Notre Dame, but Clemson, Clemson-Pittsburgh, Clemson-Virginia Tech are two matchups that wouldn't have happened without COVID. So I'm okay with Notre Dame joining the ACC, but it's like the Louisville situation with Patino, right? You bring in everybody, strippers, anybody. Just if Notre Dame's here, you roll out the red carpet.
Right. Listen, I have to say that Notre Dame, if they're not playing Miami, like to me, I said this, I don't know if I told you this before, but I just think in the history of the league of you know, college football, whatever, I mean, the best rivalry that I've ever gone to. Now, I've seen Michigan, Ohio State. I've seen them all. USC, UCLA. I've seen them all. Everything. Miami, Florida State, all of them. But there was something about Notre Dame and Miami. And I said this on the show last week. The only time you'll ever see that Hard Rock sold out, even for like the Dolphins games, there'll still be seats available to watch too. I guarantee it. You can still walk up and get a ticket to see them. But the only time that ever places ever sold out was when the Yankees were in the World Series against the Marlins. And they had 3,000 fans at every game. And then all of a sudden, one day they had 75,000 fans at the game. And I was there. And I was like, what a bunch of phonies. And then the only time that place is ever full ever was when Notre Dame came to town. And then, I mean, it meant something. And the games in South Bend were even better. I went as a kid. It was the greatest thing ever. Convicts, Catholics, greatest thing ever. I cannot believe that they're not playing Miami. I don't care who did the schedule. The guy that did it's a moron.
I agree with you. They played in 2017, and Miami blew them out at home, and that's when Notre Dame, you know, failed to make it step up. But I agree with you. Those games in the late 80s, remember Bernard Tiger Clark? Do you remember him? I mean, he was a beast. Okay, wait a second. It was Scotty. Bernard Tiger Clark was like the linebacker in Fast Times at Ridgemont High
right.
when Sean Penn crashed
Ferguson.
His car. Exactly.
Ferguson.
Yep. that was Forrest Whitaker. That was Forrest Whitaker in that movie. That's
you know,
who Bernard Tiger Clark was.
I talked to Benny Blades about it. I had him on the show. And, you know, he and his brother Brian were playing in Miami. And I was like, tell me about the Notre Dame games, the convicts and the Catholics. I mean, you want to get a guy out of his chair. Start talking about that.
Right.
I mean, they've ruined that. Like, because somebody said, yeah, they're playing Clemson. And I'm like, and then they'd have to play them again in the ACC championship. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Clemson will beat their ass. But I want to say that, but I really think they will. But then I still think that Miami, Notre Dame, no matter what, even if it's a crappy game, at least you know there's going to be some tension and somebody's going to get smacked and somebody's going to get lit up. And it's just every time they play, there's something. And there's nothing there for me with Clemson, Notre Dame. Nothing at all. It's phony.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I understand the sentiment. It's got that old school rivalry that it means something. I mean, we're basically the same age. So in those late 80s, that those games, they mattered so much for college football. And to just think about the players that came out for Miami, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Notre Dame, Clemson, we've seen in recent years, Clemson's owned them in recent years, especially in the college football playoff, but I want to see a rematch. I wouldn't mind seeing that rematch of Notre Dame Miami this year.
But you're not gonna. And then how about I'd give you Notre Dame Michigan because I used to go see that game every year in South Bend or Ann Arbor, and I always thought Notre Dame Michigan was pretty much top shelf status. I'll give you that now. But I think Michigan now, I got to tell you, Joe, I think they're kind of candy ass.
Well, they haven't lived up to expectations, and it starts with Coach Harbaugh. He's got to coach them up in a better spot They have to find a way this year to beat Ohio State. I don't care if you take in Tom Brady. You have to find a way to keep the game close and come through with a W. I mean, I understand the pressure of being Michigan. I understand that who you're going to get. But, again, you need to knock off Ohio State. That's why they brought Jim Harbaugh there. I agree with you. They haven't stepped up and played physical football in those key matchups. And the key aspect is they can't win on the road. You can't win on the road in college. You're not a good football team. So we'll see what they do this year. They need to find a quarterback.
They couldn't even beat Ohio State in Ann Arbor. And I'll tell you another thing. They couldn't beat Ohio State if Ohio State – got lost in space. If they literally flew to Ann Arbor, they flew to Detroit to the game, and the plane disappeared. Like, remember that show? What was it? Unsolved Mysteries. You remember that one?
Yes.
What if Ohio State got lost going to the game, and no one could find them anywhere, and then the final score would still be Ohio State 37, Michigan 30. Never beat Ohio State. They're so far in their heads. Not only are they in their heads, they're sleeping with their girlfriends, too. I mean, they have literally decked over there. They have penthouse property inside their skull.
You get abused. You lose by Ohio State by 36, and then you see your girlfriend go off on the Ohio State bus. That's the worst. That is the absolute worst, right? It's one thing to lose, but you can't lose twice.
I mean, when is the last time? Harbaugh, he's making $7 million, more than that, and he's never beat him. That is unbelievable to me, because I don't think anyone could do that job better than Jim Harbaugh, and he wins all the games. He can beat Northwestern, and he can beat Nebraska, and he can beat, everybody. Everybody, Indiana, he owns Indiana, but Purdue, he can beat them all, but he can't beat Ohio State, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Let me ask you this question.
Do you think players are gonna actually, like, star players like Trevor Lawrence and others of that ilk are going to pull out and not play because they want to worry about the
NFL? I don't think so. I think players like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, they're going to go through. Now, I heard a scout say that there's only one player that they would say that if they didn't play the season, he would be a top five pick. That would be Trevor Lawrence. They all need to play. I agree with them. I think the players need to be, they need repetition. They need consistency. And again, they need to play on the field and allow these scouts to see what they can do in game situations. So maybe it's about 3% of the players, but I still think 97% and the star players will make it through the season.
And so do you feel, Joe Lisi, that they're going to play those conference schedules and that we're actually going to have college football when, you know, as well as I do, when you're up in the morning, Joe, you rip one and then brush your teeth, go down and make a cup of Joe. And then, you know, you eat three donuts and you're looking at the paper and you're thinking, here comes the hurricane. I'm going to tell you what, I think they're going to play college football and that's that. Is that what you think when you wake up in the morning, that they're going to actually play college football? Because, you know, here's the thing, as you're reading the paper, you're like, you know, honey, the spikes are up again in New Jersey. It looks like all these stupid kids having these boat parties and beach parties, and down at the shore, everybody's smoking weed and not wearing their mask, honey. That I think they're going to cancel school and they're going to go back to phase one, because I'm hearing they are. I'm hearing that Murphy's going to shut this state down again, and that includes everything. And then school as well. That's coming right around the corner. You know why? Because our numbers are going through the roof again with COVID. And you're going to sit here and tell me that you think we're going to have college football?
I'm going to sit here and tell you, I think we're going to have college football because it's money. And it comes down to money, and they're going to find a way to get it done. And I think that's what will play out. Now, it might not start on time. It might not start September 26th. But they're going to try everything they can to get this season kicked off and finish in a big way. And it's not just them. It's everybody tied into them, Scotty. So with that much money on the table, I'm going to go with the green. And I'm a betting man, so I think they're going to kick it off.
Wow. What about Lincoln Riley? Are you surprised that he signed a long-term extension, that he's literally locked in Norman now until he's bald?
Which could be soon, by the way. His hairline is starting to creep up. He's a young dude.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, any type of contract, listen, if Jerry Jones wants him, he'll pay the money, right? We know that. So, I mean, it's guaranteed, but it's not really guaranteed in the sense of if they want to buy him out, right? I think he made the right decision. He's got Spencer Rattler. He's got Caleb Williams coming over. Those are big-time talents. He is the quarterback whisperer with Ryan Day and one of the best coaches in college football. So why not stay there for 6 years? You have that train moving. Why buck it right now? I keep that train momentum in, rolling towards the 6-year extension. Why not?
You think he's as good as Dabo and Saban?
No.
Three straight playoffs.
I think he's a great offensive mind coach. I don't think he makes great halftime adjustments. We saw that against Kirby Smart in Georgia, a solid defensive-minded team. I think that's where Lincoln Riley struggles on the defensive side of the ball, not just the offense, to cultivate that talent. Dabo and Nick, they do it as great as anybody else that we've seen, even on the NFL level. I mean, just the way they're able to identify talent and coach it up, they've done a fantastic job, and really those are the two elite coaches in college football. Ryan Day is catching up really quick, but you obviously have to win a national championship first.
Yeah, I can't give him. He's definitely, well, it always helps to have 90% of your team going to the NFL playing for you in college. Always helps just a little. I got to tell you. Anyway, Joe, you're the best. You're a badass. Always love talking with you on the bench. We'll get you back on again real soon. We got to get you on Coast to Coast as well. Enjoyed hooking up today, brother. Thanks, man.
Anytime.
All right, there he is, Joe Lisi. Watch out for that hurricane tomorrow, Joe. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Sports Rage coming up, top of the hour. My boy Morenci's on. Gabe, you know, I got to tell you, and I mean, this is the truth. I watched that Penguin game tonight, and they can't solve Price to save their ass. And I thought, honestly, their power play is as bad as anyone's in the league right now. Like, I've never seen anyone. They literally, did they get off one or two shots the whole night on the power play? How about that 5-on-3? They couldn't even get it in the zone. I mean, every time they had it, they wasted literally a buck 30 of the power play just trying to get it through the neutral zone. Like, their power play sucks. That's why Montreal is still in it to me. Price and the fact that the Penguins' power play has been so bad because they've had tons of penalties in power plays.
Yeah, the Canadians have to stop taking so many bad penalties. It's on them. It's not like they're bad calls or anything like that. I think the Penguins, though, got momentum back. You know, momentum doesn't – you know, and they say in the playoffs, momentum doesn't exist. Every game is a new game. But with that being stated, the Penguins are the better team. And, you know, the Canadians are going to have to start creating their own scoring opportunities. They were better in the third period at getting the puck at the net. But, you know, they had 13 shots on goal after two periods of play. That's not good enough. They've got to fire the puck at Murray. And, you know, normally, Scotty, after two games, a team would get sort of a bump and a pop going back home. They don't get that right now. So, you know, the Canadians going to have to play better, but the Penguins' power play is going to cost them even if they beat the Canadians moving forward against better teams, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think Price definitely is a problem for them. Right now, Edmonton up 3-2 on Chicago. The Lakers won that game. They covered. I think it was 116-108. So I had a lot better day with hockey. I'll see you. Sports Rage coming up. Thanks, Gabe. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good luck, New York, Philly, D.C. with the hurricane. Good night, everybody. Good job, Moff. Later.
With Car Gurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Gurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Gurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Gurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.